I got good news. Anger is not a sin, but it can become one. So let me show you how it becomes a sin. So in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be angry and do not sin. So we know that you can be angry and not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So underline that word wrath, and let me show you how anger becomes a sin. So in the very same chapter of Ephesians, if you move on down to verse 30, listen to this. Now notice what he just said. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So what kind of place is the devil looking for? So here's what happens. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that your anger will grieve the Holy Spirit? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, there's that word again, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So let me show you how this works. So I don't know if we have all of those on the screen at one time, but let's see, Jonathan, if you can get me verse 31 up there, all right? Just verse 31. Now let me show you how this works. There we go. It starts with bitterness. That is the bad taste in your mouth, right? Someone's upset me. I don't want to hear their name. I don't want to talk about it. That's what we would refer to metaphorically as I got a bad taste in my mouth. That's the bitterness. That means I'm hurt. I'm not reacting yet, but I'm hurt. But because I don't get rid of the hurt, because I haven't let it, you know, let it pass, because I haven't prayed it out, because I haven't talked it out, it turns into wrath. So wrath is when I'm not saying anything, but I'm seething. Now, some people can hide that better than other people, but it's like I am mad on the inside. Okay, I'm going to tell them myself right now. I like Marvel Comics. I know you judge me, whatever you want to judge me. Go ahead. It won't be the first time. And remember how the Hulk turns into the Hulk? You know, oh, I'm not the only one. All of you guys have heard of Bruce Banner, right? So Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk, and they said to him on one of the shows, they said, this will be a good time to get mad. And he said, that's my secret. I'm always mad. And when I heard that statement, I thought, I know a lot of people like that. They can turn into the Hulk anytime they want because the truth is they're always mad. They're always mad. There's something inside of them that affects their attitude. That's why their words are sharp. That's why their attitudes are bad. That's why they're negative. Because deep down inside, they've feel cheated somehow in life and have never dealt with it, so they're always mad. So here's what happens. Bitterness turns into wrath, so now I'm seething. Now wrath turns into anger. Now how is, anger is an emotion, but what does anger turn into? Clamor, which means I'm talking now. So I got my feelings hurt, I'm keeping it to myself, now I'm mad on the inside, now my emotions are feeling bad, and now I start blabbing. Now I'm revealing. Notice what I'm doing. I'm taking a downward spiral. My hurt feelings has now turned into gossip and slander and all kinds of things because I didn't deal with my hurt feelings. So now I'm clamoring. And then clamor is not a sin, but the next one is. What's the next word? Evil speaking. Oh boy, now because I didn't deal with it, I'm not just hurt, I'm not just talking, now I'm trying to hurt you by what I just said about you. Now it's a sin. Now I've turned it into a sin. Before I was dealing with it, but now that I'm trying to hurt you by what I just said about you, that is evil speaking. And the next stage, he said, put this away from you because the next stage is one you don't want to end up at. It's called malice. You know what malice means? Breaking things. That is when anger gets physical. That is when anger has gone so far that it now gets physical. So the problem with anger is how do I get rid of it? What is the cause of what was taken from me that makes me feel that I'm owed something? Because that's the root of anger. So let's go back to guilt and anger. How many of you would like to be freed from every debt, emotional debt in your heart tonight? I've got good news for you. That can happen. You can live debt-free because of what we just saw Awaken do earlier. because of a song that maybe you grew up singing, an old hymn called Jesus Paid It All. There's a reason that you can be debt free, because when Jesus was on the cross, he actually paid your debt on the cross. Not just the fact that he died and not just the fact that he rose. Yes, we love all of that, but how can I be sure that my debt is paid? Is there any proof on the cross that I don't have to carry this anymore? Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he actually finished, he actually at the end of the cross said a word that most often we misunderstand because of the English translation of it. He said a phrase that we say, it is finished. But we like that word. We shout about it. We praise God about it. And it is finished is powerful to us. But see, not everybody told us what he said. As a matter of fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the stories of the cross. Matthew said, the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom, the earthquake, the graves opened up, dead bodies came out of the resurrection, and Jesus cried with a loud voice. He doesn't tell us what he said. Mark says that Jesus cried with a loud voice, but doesn't tell us what he said. And he said, when he did, the sun refused to shine and daylight became dark. And in the middle of the day, it turned. And we would call that an eclipse today. But all of a sudden, it became dark in the middle of the day when Jesus died upon the cross. But Mark only says he cried out something with a loud voice. Dr. Luke tells us that Jesus cried out with a loud voice and verifies two of these facts because Luke is going around interviewing people to write his gospel. He's a medical doctor, not a preacher. And so he's going around to interviewing people. And he said, I have verified that the veil of the temple was rent in two and that the earth turned dark when Jesus died upon the cross. But there was one who was there. There was one who was at the bottom of the cross holding the mother of Jesus. There was one of the disciples that showed up at his trial and then showed up at his crucifixion. There was one that Jesus talked to at the tomb because he was holding the body, holding the grieving mother of Jesus. And Jesus actually asked him, please take care of her. He says, from this point on, she's your mother. And he says, Mary, from this point on, he's your son. I'm going to ask John to take care of you. John was the only one close enough to understand. The rest of them heard a loud voice, but John said something that we have translated into English as it is finished. But if you read it in the Greek, which is what the Bible is written out of, it's the word teleo. Well, that's the way it's translated. Here's the problem. If you go to your Greek concordance and you tap on the word in your Bible program and you tap on the word finished, it's going to give you the word teleo. Now, the word teleo is like closing a book. It means it's done. So this means teleo right here. This means I'm reading this book and I've got to the end and I close the book. That's all it means. But that's not the word that John said he used. It is a derivative of the word, but it's not it's the verb point. So if I was to say, I wave, that's a verb. But if I say I'm waving, that means I'm continuing to wave, right? If I say I walk, that's a verb. But if I say I'm walking, then it's a continuation. I have not stopped. Jesus didn't use the word, it is finished. Jesus used the word tetelestai, which means it will continue to be finished. It will be finished and then finished and finished. It is a continuation of finishing everything all the way to the end. It is not just done now. It will be done in the future. It will be done for every sin. It will be over for every problem, every issue that every person faces. It will continue to be finished. But understand, they're giving us this in Greek because that's what the New Testament was written in. But Jesus didn't say it in Greek. Jesus said it in Hebrew. And the interesting part about this is when Jesus said it in Hebrew, he didn't use the word testaleia. He used the word kalah. All right, now get this. In Hebrew, it's the word kalah. This is a word that every Hebrew person knew. There was the high priest. There was those who brought the condemnation against Jesus. There was the Jewish Sanhedrin. All of those people that were there to witness the crucifixion of Jesus, they heard him say something that they longed to hear every single year. Because every year on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would take the blood of the Lamb, he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb, because only one time a year were the debts paid. Only one time a year on the Day of Atonement, only that one time of the year were all the sins removed, and one Lamb, one moment, wiped away everything, and they saw this bloody priest come out of the back of the Holy of Holies, and everyone stood waiting, and that priest would come out with a censer in one hand and blood dripping on him where he'd sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and with hands lifted up, he would shout out, "Kalah!" And all of Israel would scream and shout and dance, because in that moment, they knew every debt was paid. Every sin was lifted. Everything was taken care of. Jesus didn't just say, "I'm the high priest and I'm taking this to heaven." He said, "For every sin, for every debt, every bit of it, I am paying it all. I'm taking care of everything. Every sin, every person you will let down, every sin you will commit, every guilt trip you've been put on, every time you lie, every word that comes out of your mouth, the people that you owe, the people that owe you." Jesus said, "You do not have to carry guilt and you do not have to carry anger, because I made a way where there was no way. You have no way of paying that debt, but you don't have to, because I already paid that debt, and it is continually paid all throughout your lifetime." Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Now we can understand what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. Listen to prophet Isaiah. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of God been revealed?" You see, he was not the Messiah they were thinking of. They thought he would come in on a white horse with an army, not die on the cross. And Isaiah said, "Who's going to believe this? Who's going to believe this report? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He will have no form of comeliness, and when they see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. By the time this Savior pays for our sins, we won't even recognize him as a king. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." And here's where he gets to you. He didn't leave you out of this moment. "Surely he has borne our griefs." You don't have to do it anymore. I have good news for you tonight. You can stop grieving. You can stop worrying about every person that's let you down and every person that you've let down. No more guilt. No more anger, no more shame. If you really believe Jesus is enough, if you really believe that, he said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray." That's you, that's me. Every single one of us have strayed from the path at some point. Every single one of us. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. Don't raise your hand on that one. We all know it's true. Did it my own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of every time I turned my back on him. The Lord laid on him every time I did it my own way. Every time I walked away, the Lord laid that sin on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearers was silent, yet he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who will declare his generation? Meaning he will have no children. He will have no family. He will die is what he's saying. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made him a grave with the wicked. I wanted to prove it was Jesus. Died between two thieves. And with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea. Because he did no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he put him to grief. When you make your soul an offering for sin, he shall see the seed and shall proclaim his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the Lord will see this about Jesus and your sins. He will see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. What? That means he put my sin on him. He put my issues on him. My brokenness on him, my letdowns, my disappointments, my heartbreaks, all the people I've let down, all the people who've let me down, he put all of that on him, and he sees the travail of his soul, and he's satisfied by it. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus paid it all. Colossians 2 says that he took every ordinance that was written against you and nailed it to the cross. He nailed everything anybody's ever said and any sin you've ever done, any judgment that's ever been handed down. The Bible says he nailed all of that to the cross. So I want to close with a story. This guy lived in the 1700s. His name was John. His father was a sea captain and his mother was a church-going woman, but she was very sick. So John stayed at home with his mother till the age of 7 when she died. From the time he was born to the age of 7, he actually got to go to church with her. So he had a little bit of upbringing of Christ. But after his mother died, his father, who was a sea captain, married another woman who did not want to raise John. So they decided to send him away. They put him in a boarding school where he spent Christmases and birthdays alone and had no semblance of family. And he lived his life without the presence of father and mother. And as most people who feel robbed, he was angry. You owe me. And because he was angry, he left college or left the boarding school and got into a lot of trouble. One of the things that happened to him is he started running with the wrong crowd and a gang beat him so badly that it's a wonder he did not die because he was in the perils of death and they had beaten him severely within an inch of his life, and somehow or another he recovered. He did not know what to do with his life, no father, no mother to guide him, nowhere to go, no place to call home, no place to go home to. So the only thing he knew, he became a seaman just like his dad. Started working on ships, but unfortunately, because of his anger, he worked on the worst kind of ships. He worked on slave trading ships. And the atrocities that this man had to do were things that kept him up at night because of the type of ships that he worked on. He became a brawler and a heavy drinker. Till one night, he was aboard a vessel. They got torn to pieces. And out in the middle of the ocean, when he thought he would die, holding on to a board for his life, he did the only thing he could think to do before he died is he called upon the God of his mother and asked if he would help him. Somehow or another, in that horrible storm, John made it out. He still doesn't really understand how he got out of this mess, but he was so filled with anger that when God rescued him, he felt like he would give God a try. Interesting story is that John left the open seas and eventually became the pastor of a small church. He wrote a poem one day to include in his sermon that eventually someone wrote some lyrics to. These are the words John wrote because he wanted to tell his own testimony. His words were this: through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 'Cause I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was so blind, but now I see. A few years ago, a Christian artist wanted to add his own story to John Newton's story, and he tagged this refrain onto that old hymn: my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was so blind, but now I see.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.